Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get started. Welcome, everybody. This is our third guest call of the workshop, and we have our February workshopees listening in, and we also have alums from the past two workshops who may be listening in or listening in on the recording. So welcome, everybody. I'm very happy to have Victoria Prozan with us today. Hey, Victoria.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
And a lot of you, I know, are already familiar with Victoria, but if you're not, she is a business storyteller, and she helps entrepreneurs, like all of us, brand their businesses and products with her super name, Super Lux. I'm going to say the name of her thing wrong. Super Lux Naming Experience, which I highly recommend if you're in a naming conundrum of any kind. And I always love having Victoria come speak because she's very good at getting me personally out of the boxes I put myself in and opening up to bigger visions of myself and my business. And she's very good at getting us, like I said, back in our imagination. And she really believes that imagination is our superpower. And her work is all about helping us dig in there, get that superpower out, and use it in our businesses. So I will post links to Victoria's beautiful website, her social media, and everything on our Facebook groups and when I send out the recording. So you can continue to stay in touch with her if you'd like to after this call. And today, Victoria is going to talk with us about creativity and listening to and believing in our own voices. This is very crucial for everybody who's going through the workshop right now, because you guys are transitioning from writing, which is very much in your own voice, to taking your content and translating that into design, which is another way to put your voice out in the world. And it's also really important for the alums, because you guys are continuing to develop and grow your businesses and put your work out in the world, and doing that in your own voice and believing in your voice and believing in your business and all of that is very, very important to your success. So I will ask you guys if you have questions later to press star 2 to raise your hand. If you're listening in on the webcast, there's a little Q&A box there. You can type your questions in. And I will double check and see if anybody has questions there. If you're in either of our Facebook groups, you can post questions there as well. So I'm going to hand it over to Victoria. And if I have not said everything there is to say about you, Victoria, please tell us a little bit more about yourself. And then you can jump right into talking about creativity.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you so much, Christy. So it's awesome to be able to talk to you guys today, and I get so excited about creativity. So I might have to slow myself down a little bit. I might start talking a little too fast. But so let me just give you a little bit of background about how I got to where I am in my career. And I'll give you the super condensed version. But I've always been somebody who has self-identified as creative. When I was young, my parents, my dad reupholstered furniture for a living way back when I was young, and my mom was always really crafty. It was the 70s when, you know, crafts started to become big. And, you know, I was a Girl Scout and just did all these things. It was always really in the crafty realm, but not so much art. But I've always kind of had that spark in me. And then as I got older, it sort of transitioned into photography. When I was in college, that's what I studied. And this was back in the day before, you know, we had digital stuff. So it was in a real dark room with film and all of that. And I just loved it so much. But as I went out into the real world, I had a really difficult time trying to figure out how I could use that creativity in a real world way. And so like many creative people, that kind of fell to the wayside for quite a while. And about 7 years ago now, I realized that I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur, and I knew that I needed to pick up some design skills. So I made a point to enroll myself in a local community college here, a technical school. And my intention was to just take a couple design classes so I could, you know, make myself a logo and things like that. And I found as I kind of went back into this creative world, I just fell in love with it. And so I ended up completing that degree. So I went through the whole process of getting a design degree. And as I went through that process, I could really see when I looked at my photography from much earlier in my life, I could really see the visual communication element that I didn't kind of have that language in my head and in my understanding to see that that was really a way that I expressed myself. So after I graduated, I intended on having a design business, and I went about doing that. I had an in-house studio here at my house. I taught myself how to silk screen, and for a few years, I made products. I made house goods. I silk screened on textiles. I made pillows out of it. I made all kinds of things out of it. And I always loved the design piece, but unfortunately, the business piece was really lacking for me. It was a very difficult a business model to make profitable with the amount of time I had. So I kind of got to a point where I was like, you know what? I know I have something to say. I know I'm a really creative person. There must be another way for me to express this part of who I am. And so I kind of came at it. I was intending to offer creative brainstorming services to people. And what I found was that a lot of people really wanted to talk about names and branding and things like that. And for a little while, I was confused because I thought, well, but that's not hard. I don't understand. Why would people need help with that? And now I can see that that was an opportunity because it is something that is really fun and exciting to me. And it really can be difficult for other people, and it can be very intimidating. So I sort of took what I took the skill sets that I had, and I decided to turn them around and make them work for me. And that's what I want, like, each of us to do, not just you that are here on the call, but really in the world, because we all do have a creative voice. I believe that everyone is creative. And I know that there are a lot of people out there, even creative people, who tell me, no, not everybody is creative, but I disagree. And I know this because when you sort of take away the more traditional idea of what creativity is, i.e., the idea of a visual art or a performance art, you know, art, craft, music, acting, all of those things. When you kind of put that stuff aside and you really just think about the act of creating, you'll see that you're creating in your life every single day. You know, we cook. We have a house that we decorate in whatever way we want. We have families. I mean, the act of raising children is a creative act. And most importantly, we have our businesses. The act of being an entrepreneur is creating a business. Therefore, you're expressing your creativity. You may not be aware of it, but you are. And so the first thing that I would really encourage you to do is just bring a little awareness to the fact that you are making decisions every day that is creating something. And when you bring your awareness to that, you'll see that it becomes much easier to kind of steer that ship in the right direction when you're aware of the fact that you're indeed floating on a sea. So I like to think of my business as my work of art. Like, the entire thing to me is something that I'm creating. And yes, it's not like a traditional work of art, but in essence, that is what it is. And hopefully it will be the thing that allows me to make my mark on the world and allows me to really help impact other people's lives in either large or small ways. So the first thing I just want to really impress upon you is the idea that you are creative, even if you don't think of yourself that way. And if you are somebody who already self-identifies as creative, I would encourage you to bring that same energy to these other parts of your life that maybe you don't think of as creative. You know, I mean, I know a lot of times when people are more creative, more artsy, you know, they think that the more analytical side, the more businessy things of, you know, accounting and things like that, there's always room for you to be creative in every part of your business because it's your business. So, okay. So we'll sort of move off of that. But in essence, like, own it, because it's there whether or not you acknowledge it. And once you start acknowledging it, you can then better create what you really want versus it just kind of being on autopilot. So, okay, so let's talk a little bit about how you can bring more creative energy into your life. I really think of my imagination and my creativity, there's a couple different metaphors you could use, either like a battery that needs to continually be recharged, or something like a bank account where, you know, you have to keep putting in deposits in order to be able to withdraw some resources. And the way that I do that is I kind of think of myself as a little detective. You know, when I'm out in the world, it takes a while to really sort of hone these skills, but if you just start in little ways, just pay attention to what's going on around you. You know, maybe part of it is my photography background, but I'm always fascinated with, you know, light, shadow, shape, textures, all those kinds of things. And since we live in a world where most of us walk around with a camera in our pockets at all times, I still, you know, kind of going back to me talking about how I used to need a darkroom to do my photography, when I pull out my camera out of my iPhone, like, to me, that's still like the modern miracle. I still fall in love with it every time I pull it out, because I think, wow, like, I have everything I need to really capture what I'm seeing at any particular moment in time. And then once I capture what I'm seeing, I can then even kind of extrapolate out and turn it into something that perhaps isn't even recognizable when you compare it to what I'm actually seeing with my eyes. So I really see the camera that we carry around in our smartphones as a really great opportunity to bring some creative energy into your everyday life. You know, and it doesn't have to be for anybody but you. It's just something, you know, when you're in the moment and you're in the mood, you can take it out. You can either, you know, you're either seeing something that's going on in front of you, or sometimes, I have to admit, not so much in the middle of winter. I live in Wisconsin and it's pretty cold here right now. But when the weather's nicer, like, sometimes just go out in my backyard, the same place that I've been a million times over, and I just spend 5 minutes taking pictures. You know, I really just kind of drill down and stop seeing the big picture and really kind of focus in on the little things that are going on. You know, again, coming back to that idea of light and, you know, everything growing, everything that's shifting with the different times of day, with the different times of year, and really just playing around with it. And it doesn't have to be for any particular purpose. It's really just to play around and experiment and, again, kind of use your voice. See, I think that when you kind of do that over time and then you go back and kind of look at the work that you've done, you'll start to see patterns in yourself. You'll start to see that you do have a point of view, even if it's not something that you never thought about in those terms. So that's just one of the ways that I like to play around. I'm also a big, like, I love to watch movies. I find movies to be very inspiring from a creative point of view. Obviously, there's always the storylines, which are kind of fascinating to me, how characters are presented, how things are sort of laid out in that manner, but also from a visual point of view. You know, how do the visuals of a particular movie kind of underscore the storyline itself? I'm not going to give any spoilers, but I did just see Silver Linings Playbook, and that was something that I really kind of noticed, that the camera work in that movie really underscored the storyline. So that's something I pay attention to. I've always loved music. I love really cheesy pop music as well, so, and I'm not afraid to admit it. And, you know, that's, I think, for me, where the kind of the wordplay thing really holds for me, is I've just always been fascinated with song lyrics, and I love the interplay of words, and so I just pay attention to those kinds of things. And then finally, one of the things that you can also do that you probably already do, and when you do it, you might feel guilty, is Pinterest. I love Pinterest. I was on Pinterest pretty early, and for me, I'm somebody who's always collected magazines and always had, like, tons of piles of things ripped out of magazines, and now I have it all in this nice little site. And, you know, I know there's a lot of different things that you can be sort of paying attention to on Pinterest, but I would encourage you to have at least some boards, if not all of your boards, that are really just strictly about visual communication and, you know, kind of, again, playing that detective where just paying attention to visually what's really appealing to you. And you don't have to really judge it or edit it in the moment, but once you start really collecting those pieces and you kind of have like a you know, quite a few pins to look at, start to notice the things that you see as trends, because I think that will really help you develop your own voice, you know, and definitely if those are things that are appealing to you, bring those into your brand, bring those into your business, because ultimately, like, I believe that branding is only effective if it's in completely authentic to who you are. I think sometimes we try to do it from the inside out, I mean, from the outside in. We want it to look good and we want it to sound good, and then we think, oh, we'll bring our own voice into it down the road, but it doesn't work that way. You really have to start with your own voice, and then you build up those other elements. Okay, so let's see here. So the other thing, that kind of going back to that idea of your creativity and your imagination being like a battery or a bank account, is it doesn't work on demand. So while you need to have those things full and charged and ready to go, you don't get to just sit down and say, okay, now create this awesome idea for me. So what I recommend that you do is give yourself a little bit of time. When I know I have a big project coming up, like for example, right now I am working on building a new website, and I've been working on it for a while. But I sort of give myself that time to start pondering what it is that I want, you know, making notes. I like working on paper a lot. Obviously, the computer is great. But when it comes to the initial stages of any kind of creative work, I find a big piece of paper and a bunch of markers is so much better, because I'm pretty sure, I don't have any scientific proof, but when you write something with your hand, I think it lights up a different part of your brain than if you're just typing it into a computer. And so I encourage you to take a little bit of time and space to just start playing with ideas, because I think that one of the biggest probably fallacies about creativity and design specifically is this idea that it's a linear process. And I think that it really took me a while as I was learning my design skills to not beat myself up over the fact that, like, I felt like, oh, why? Everything feels so trial and error. Why can't I get past it? And then I just finally realized that good designers don't get past it, because that is the creative process. I mean, obviously, if you build up skills, you know, sort of the technical parts can be a lot faster. But I find that when I design, I love to move things around. I'm like, I can't just sit down and say, oh, okay, I'm going to do this and go with the first kind of solution that comes to me. Obviously, sometimes if time is of the essence, that you kind of have to push on through that. But I think that it's so much better and more interesting when you play around, because it's in that playing around, I think that your creativity really comes to life. It's when it has that space to play versus, you know, it's kind of being cooped up and said, okay, now, you know, just do this. So I would encourage you to give yourself some time, you know, not only in the beginning phases, like I said, start way before you're ready with that idea that you're going to use that time to just ponder and play around. And then even while you're in the active part of the design process, you know, whether it's your PDFs right now or it's any part of your business, just know that, like, trial and error and experimenting really is part of the process, and it will get you a better result in the end. Like, it may seem like you're wasting time, but you're not. Even if it ends up being something that you don't use, one, I find that when I have if I have different versions of what I'm doing, I'm much more confident in what I ultimately choose, because I can actually look at them versus saying, well, I think this is pretty good, but you don't really have anything to compare it to. So just give yourself that time and space, and know that even the best designers in the world, they don't just sit down and, like, pound it out and then it's genius. It really doesn't work that way, even if sometimes people want you to believe that. That's not how it works. Okay, so, but then the flip side of that time issue is don't allow procrastination sort of undermine you. Because in essence, I believe that all creativity is really iteration. You know, the best way to create something that is truly phenomenal is to understand that it's going to take a few passes. In fact, it's probably going to take more than a few. And so allow yourself to kind of be in that space of like, okay, this is good enough for now. This is where I am right now. Like, it may not be the genius that I have in my head, but you'll get there someday as long as you keep letting that creative energy flow. I think a lot of times, especially as entrepreneurs, we kind of get stuck in our head and we try to solve the problems in our head instead of trying to solve them through action and sort of letting that thing be what it is for a while and then coming back and revisiting it. So, and I think that also as you develop your design skills and, you know, perhaps the PDF that you're working on right now is, you know, it's great. And then in a year from now, you may look back on that and be like, wow, look at how much I've learned. But understand that it wasn't that when your sort of taste and your expectation increases, there's nothing wrong with what you did in the past. That's how we all get to where we are. I think there's actually a really great, and I can email it to Christy, but there's, speaking of Pinterest, I'm sure this is on Pinterest somewhere, but Ira Glass, who is the host of This American Life, it's an NPR show, and just about little snippets of people's lives, he's got a really great quote about how the process of when you're starting to learn something new, you feel very frustrated because your taste levels are good, but your execution isn't quite where you want it to be. But that nobody really tells you that that's just part of the process, and the only way to get better is to just keep going. So I'll try to find that and I'll send that to Christy. So, but I guess in a nutshell, what I'm trying to say is just keep on keeping on. Like, believe in yourself and know that just like everything else in your life that you feel like you're starting to master, one time, you were not good at it, and you had to learn it, and this is just like everything else. And as long as you keep going, you'll not only learn, but you'll learn so much faster than you think possible. Okay, so one of the other things that I kind of want to throw in there when it comes to creativity, and especially in those beginning processes, is this idea of brainstorming. Now, everyone knows the word brainstorming. But what brainstorming really is, it's not just about solving a problem. Brainstorming is really a very specific term that's still used in creative agencies and design agencies. And really what it's about is how it works is you basically get a bunch of people in a room and you have this, you know, a problem to solve. And everybody just throws out any idea that comes to mind. You don't have to know how it's going to happen. You don't have to have the skills to do it. It's really about bringing sort of as many kind of crazy out there ideas as you can into the mix. And once you sort of download, you know, all of that sort of out there energy, then you start kind of honing in and figuring out what's going to work, you know, what's possible, what's the best solution. You start bringing in editing, but you don't judge anything early on. And I think that a lot of us kind of tend to say, okay, I have this problem. Here's a solution. I'm just going to go with that. And while there are probably times where we all have to do that, if you're not in that position and you have the freedom to give yourself a little bit of room, do it. Because, again, that's where you're going to bring in the best idea, not just a idea or an idea, I suppose I should say. Okay. So let's talk about your voices specifically, because at the heart of, you know, we can think about creativity as this sort of energy that's out there. But you can be the most creative person in the world, and if you don't have the confidence to move through that, no one's ever going to hear what's in your head. No one's ever going to hear what you have to say. No one's ever going to be able to see the expression of your creativity. And I mean, for me personally, you know, confidence is something that I still struggle with. And as I went through school, you know, I just learned, you know, when you have your things up on a wall and people are critiquing them in a way where they're like, they don't care if they hurt your feelings. They're just giving you their honest feedback. And you kind of have to just, you have to kind of get over the preciousness of your own work sometimes. And so even though that is difficult, in essence, it really leads to sort of a confidence that as it grows, it really empowers you in a lot of other ways. And so I guess sometimes we think, oh, well, I have to be confident, or I have to know what I'm doing. I think probably more than confidence. I have to know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing, so this probably isn't very good. And that's totally not true. Basically, that's fear and resistance kind of rearing up and trying to stop you. I just recently read the book The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield, and that's a book that especially more creative people, it's been around for quite a while now, and it's a book I probably, quote-unquote, should have read a long time ago. And I've had a lot of people tell me to read it, and I finally just read it, over the holidays. And the whole book is about resistance. And resistance is really kind of how fear manifests itself when you're working through your creative process. It's when you get distracted and, you have something really important to do and you find yourself cleaning your bathroom. Or, it's the voices in your head that say, oh, you're not good enough. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. No one's going to want to hear this, that kind of thing. So one, and we'll also email this to Christy. If you haven't read that book, or if you haven't read it in a while, I would really encourage you to pick it up. It's a really fast read. You could literally probably read it in an afternoon. And it's one of those books that you'll probably keep handy, because every once in a while when you're feeling that doubt creep in, it's a good thing to pick up and say like, oh yeah, like this is just normal. This is how it works for everybody. And I think that that's what I really want to impress upon you, is that all of the doubt, like, everybody goes through that. It's not just you because you, quote, unquote, don't know what you're doing. It's, we all go through that, and the only way to work through it is to just do your best to kind of put on your blinders and just keep going. And this next book I read right after I finished The War of Art is Seth Godin's latest book, which is called The Icarus Deception. And so if I can get you to read The War of Art, I would also like to encourage you to then pick up The Icarus Deception right after that, because his, I'm sure many of you already follow Seth Godin, but his core idea is, like, you have to give yourself permission. Like, no one's going to give you permission to speak up, to make your art, do whatever changes that you want to make in the world. No one, if we all wait around for other people to, like, say, oh, I deem you worthy, we're all kind of screwed. And but yet we all seem to do that. So anyways, his book is really a great accompany to The War of Art, although I don't think he intended it that way, because it really is about, getting your voice out there. And again, coming back to the idea that the only way that you're going to get really good and you're going to really hone in on the most effective way to say what you have to say is to just keep practicing and keep doing it. And don't worry about other people's judgment, what other people think of you. I know it's not easy, but I think it's something that we all need to do, because I have no doubt that each of you wants the same thing that I want and that Christy wants. And we want a better world, and we know that it is possible. And the best way for that to really happen is for us, each as individuals, to continue to put ourselves out there and be vulnerable and take risks and not be afraid to fail, even if it's in public, because ultimately, you fail when you don't try. And so let's see here. I think I had another point I wanted to make about that. I think I kind of lost my train of thought there. But, in essence, I guess where I can sometimes get a little bit more brave with my creativity and my own voice is when I separate it from my ego. And it's not always easy. But, when I make everything about me and I make what I'm doing, like coming back to that idea of people judging me and saying, who are you to say that? Like, I don't agree with that. I mean, you're no expert. When I can kind of find that little thin line and separate a little bit from my ego from the work that I'm doing, and I start thinking of it as, instead of I'm creating this thing, I almost think of it more like I'm its caretaker, that I'm the one who needs to, kind of protect it, not in a way of, so that nobody criticizes it, but protect it in a way that allows it to grow. And the only way that it can be allowed to grow is that, you know, I keep investing my time and my energy to make it better, to do it over, things like that. So maybe sometimes if you see something from your creativity as a way that you're providing a service to the world, it becomes a little bit easier to take risks and to not take that criticism so personally, because that kind of stuff is not about you. And if you look back at anyone who's really had any kind of innovation, made any real impact in a long-term way, they always took tons of risks. And it's easy when you look back in hindsight to say, oh, well, that wasn't really a risk. But you know what? When you're that person in that moment and, you know, there's nobody's getting your back, you just got to do it for yourself, that really is how those people succeed. And that's one of the things that I try and remind myself. And I struggle with voice all the time. In fact, one of my big things for myself this year is to really put my voice out there more, to create more content, both free and paid, that really says something. And I would just encourage you all to do the same thing, because we really all need to get our voices out there. And I think that when we act and we take those risks, it's not so much that the output of our expression is necessarily the game changer, so to speak, but I think it's letting other people see that you're doing it. It's that, you know, you're not telling people, but showing them through your action. And I think that when we all act a little bit more in alignment with taking those risks and getting our voice out there, we give other people permission to do the same just by them witnessing what we're doing. So that's sort of my take on creativity and voice. So I would love to answer some questions if anybody has any.
Yeah.
Or Chrissy, if you have any.
No, it's just if you're listening on the phone, it is *2 to raise your hand if you guys have questions. And if you're listening on the webcast, there's a little box there in your webcast window where you can put in a question, *2 to raise your hand if anybody has a question. No, I was going to say that one thing that I talked to the last two workshops about is that iterative process of design, and how even if you sketch it out, I do a lot of, like you said, pen and paper. Okay, here's where I know I want a photo, and here's how I want a headline, and you know, here's where the text is going to be. Even when I start there, putting in one photo, trying that, putting in another photo has a completely different feel or a completely different setup, or it has some space for text over the top of it. And so it is very much an exploratory process, very much trial and error, in terms of where the workshopees are right now with getting ready to start designing. And one of the things I talked to the other two workshops about is amnesty, and giving yourself amnesty for mistakes that you make in these PDFs that you create this time around. So just like Victoria said, that you're going to look back in a year from now and say, oh my gosh, look what I made there. That was crazy. I have a portfolio of my first design work that I did when I was in college. And I open that up and I look at it, and honestly, you guys are doing way better work than I was doing way back then. So, and I'm kind of ashamed of it, but I don't throw it away, because I just want to remind myself that I started out, I didn't know how to put a photo down. I didn't know how to get text to go with it. I didn't know any of that stuff. And so I kind of I gave myself amnesty for that, the crazy way that looks. And you guys can do that for yourself too. Through this process, you can say, okay, that was good for today, and tomorrow's another day, and I will do more, and I will do better, and I will continue to grow as I do this process. One question I had for you, Victoria, is, and this is a bigger topic, kind of, we are inundated with the ideal client thing, and finding your ideal client, and what is your ideal client read, and what do they wear, and what colors do they like, and how do you kind of balance that out with You know, my approach to design is very much like I really want to love what I'm designing. And if I love it, then I'm going to be very proud of it and promote it and be confident. But matching that up with an ideal client who may or may not be exactly the same as us.
That's an excellent question. So I guess for me, you know, I agree with you. I think that, let's see, if you are so crystal clear about your ideal client, and it is somebody who is drastically different in taste and perception and all of those things than you are, then I think that you're probably going to have a little bit more of a learning curve to bridge between, you know how you communicate, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that I find that most of the time it seems like our ideal clients are they're not who we are, but mm-hmm. there's some variation or there's some part of who we are. And I think that that's why they are our ideal clients, because, you know, there's some sort of, connection that we already sort of feel to, you know, that problem that we can solve for somebody. So the way I go about, creating my own content is that and this is how when I work with my own clients and we're, you know, working on their branding, you know, you can apply all those other sort of filters to the process, but I think that it always has to start from an authentic place. Like, it has to start with what is it that you really want to say? I mean, our businesses are our platform to the world. Like, that's how I see it. My business is my chance to stand up and say something. So I like to think of my branding and in my content is that's my message. Like, we only get so many seconds of someone's attention online in our ADD world. So when I have their attention, what is it that I really want to say? And I think that if you come at it from that point of view, even if your ideal client isn't, you know, perhaps have the same taste as you, if you're coming at the communication from that point of view, I think that that your, like, earnest attempt to really help them, I think that that's going to come through. And then once you start to get that piece of your voice going, you know, and then obviously, like, as you know, Christy, you know, bringing in, like, I loved how you started out this call just talking about how the next part of the course is to bring in the visual communication so that it works with the writing that you've already created. And I think that there's a big disconnect sometimes between the understanding that your visuals are a form of communication. And when I do my website, I really try to think of it. What if somebody either didn't speak English or there were no words on my site at all, or you know, the words, just they didn't understand what the words meant. Would they still get the same feeling from just looking at my site that they get from reading my site?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you can start to understand that those two things should obviously be working together and not competing, or kind of the visuals be an arbitrary piece, I think that that's when you really start to connect with your clients.
Yeah, definitely. I think that in part the conversation around ideal client is in some ways feels separating. Like, we're looking at our ideal client with a magnifying glass, and it's taking them out of the equation and making them this one little, you know, red dot in a sea of blue or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we think about, like, politics and, oh, here's red states and blue states, when really it's all purple states and various shades mm-hmm. of purple. So I think part of the conversation around ideal clients is really polarizing and makes me at least think, when I'm thinking about that, as, oh, there's just this one ideal client versus there's these shades of ideal client. And as long as, like you said, I'm being true to my voice, then that voice is what's going to come through to them at whatever stage they are, whatever shade they are. And, you know, if they're a deep purple, maybe what I'm saying doesn't really reflect to them right now, but maybe 2 years from now, what I'm saying does.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm going I'm going off on a tangent. But I've been really thinking about that because I've been thinking about it in terms of helping the people that are going through the workshop really speak to the specific people that they want to speak to and visually speak to those people. And it really does come down to speaking in our own voice and then also knowing that we're not speaking to everybody in the world. We really are speaking to a particular set of people at a particular point in their life when they're open to our particular message. So,
I agree. Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that, I guess, for me, like, when I think about my ideal client, like, what really helps me not only in my writing, but, you know, in my designing is everything that we've talked about. But instead of thinking of my ideal client as this person is representative of all these people, like, I really try to think of it as I'm communicating with that one person.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we can't, you're right. Like, we have to, I think that that's part of where our fear, you know, comes in, that we think, oh, but if I, you know, if I'm too focused on one person, then I'm going to, you know, these other people aren't going to get it. And mm-hmm. it's okay if they don't get it. And that's, you know, and that's where it comes back to that confidence piece. Like, we just have to believe that people really will understand. And I just really believe that the more you own your own voice, the more people you're going to attract. Because it's in essence, that confidence is what is the attractor. I mean, obviously, we all have different products and services and skills that mm-hmm. we're marketing. But in essence, you know, we all know there are entrepreneurs out there. It doesn't matter what they sell us. We're going to want it from them because mm-hmm. we believe in who they are. Like, we connect with who they are. And obviously, you know, depending on what it is they're selling at the price point, we're more inclined to buy it. But, so I think for the ideal client from that point of view, as far as that goes, like, I think it just helps me to focus. And because I get very intimidated when I think about creating something for an audience. But when I think about creating something for a specific person, it just feels better. It mm-hmm. feels clearer to me how I need to communicate.
I don't know
if that's helpful, but
no, I think it is. I think it's all of these things are layers upon layers upon layers. Mm-hmm. And as you start peeling stuff back, and it all really does come back to us. It comes back to what mm-hmm. what we want, what our vision of our business is, and then it builds out in layers again. Houston, Texas, or Grand Junction, Colorado, if you guys have questions, it's *2 to raise your hand. I don't see anybody on Q&A with any questions. Anything else, Victoria? I think, you know, this has been a great, we got some hands raised now. It's been a really great overview of the creative process and tying it in with really, really listening to yourself. So I'm going to go ahead and unmute Rowan. Hi, Rowan.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead with your question.
I just put on my headphones, so that way any ambient noise doesn't come through. Well, so I really appreciate the phone call, and I appreciate, first of all, the permission to not beat myself up later, you know? Like, if uh-huh. I think that's what I'm afraid of, is that I'm going to make something that a year from now I'll be so embarrassed that I put it out, especially as a product for purchase. And so just the permission to, like, grow, I think that was really helpful. That, you know, yeah, a year from now I might be like, oh, man. And at the same time, it's totally okay, and that's just part of the process. So I appreciate that encouragement. The other thing I was thinking about, and I heard this term from somebody else called generative play, that when I kind of like goof off with something and then learn more about it. And so when I'm kind of framing the design part that's coming up to us as generative play, and mm-hmm. that kind of flows into the creativity idea, right? Just and I'm playing around with things, and that it is fun and it's creative, and it's not like 1, 2, 3, make something awesome, but kind mm-hmm. of let's kind of fool around with it until we get there. So I'm just hearing lots of good stuff, and then also the part about our ideal customer, and then what if they're not, you know, they wouldn't dig something that we dig, and then I think, okay, maybe that's not the right customer for me.
Yeah.
I totally have a really distinct personality. You know, I'm from Houston, and I have, you know, kind of a drawl, and I tend to curse, and I'm real direct, and so maybe I'm not a fit for a lot of people, but for a lot of people, I'm the perfect fit. So I want to make sure that that comes through in my work. You know, that I don't want somebody to be unhappy with my work, and at the same time, me to be unhappy that they found me instead of the next best person for them. So I like that piece about really being who I am, and if I'm not a fit for somebody, then that's cleared up easily, especially by, you know, how I present myself with my design and my creativity. So I guess I don't really have a question. I just wanted to say that I really appreciate this conversation, and I appreciate referencing The Art of Money and the Seth Godin book, and because sometimes I think that's real important, right, that we keep growing and keep evolving ourselves. And also I appreciate being able to learn from people that are far ahead of, you know, who are more ahead of me in the game, or kind of not the game, but in their creative entrepreneurial skill set. So it's like you're reaching an arm down for the rest of us, going, hey guys, I use this and this really helped me. So I appreciate that insight into your own development, Victoria. So I guess that's all I have to say. No question, but just thanks everybody. I totally appreciate you guys talking.
Yeah, thanks, Ron.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Yes, I'm much like Christy. I have lots of stuff. I have lots of stuff in my design past, and I'm like, ooh. But you know what? Like, but honestly, like, in the beginning, you might feel embarrassment, but the farther I go, actually, I get more and more proud of it because, you know, not that it's good is why I'm proud of it, but I'm proud of myself for, like, kind of continuing on. And I can see, I'm like, oh, you know what? At least I started something. I started something, and
yeah.
I'm working towards something, and I'm not just, you know, saying I wish I was doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the same for you guys. Give yourself credit. You're taking risks right now, just putting yourself out there to learn. So
yeah.
That's awesome.
Okay, so I'm going to unmute Grand Junction. I think I know who it is, but I'm not sure.
It's Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca.
Thank you so much. I am overjoyed with the idea of purple. That makes me very happy. And I'm also really thrilled that you gave me permission to take these pictures that I don't show anyone, because I thought I was just goofing off and wasting time, and now you make me feel like, no, that's an investment in my creative voice and noticing patterns. I've been taking pictures every day of the cattails along my walk and noticing the seasons changing. And as soon as you said that, I realized my ebook that I'm designing in Christy's class is all about nature photos, when really it's a clutter kind of class. And people asked, why aren't they pictures of clutter? And I think it's because my message that I'm trying to send is, if you pay attention to your internal nature, then clutter kind of takes care of itself. So that was a good connection that I just made. So thanks a lot. So my question for you, though, is about, you were talking about, if you bring art into your business, it relaxes you and you do better. I am very much an artist. I very much identify that way. I am very much not a salesperson. So my challenge for you is to help me feel relaxed about being an artistic salesperson.
Oh, Victoria, well, I'm going to let you take this one.
Okay. So here's how I would frame that. Like, you know, just think of it, you know, your art is your expression. So when it comes to sales, you know, again, it comes to that voice thing. You know, how is it that you want to talk about your work? And again, this is kind of what I was talking about, trying to take my ego out of it. You know, when I have like a freebie that I have on my site, and I do a lot of, you know, like 15-minute calls with people for free. And I really, you know, even though obviously the underlying thing is that I want to make a sale, like, I really don't come at it from that point of view. You know, at least until I know that we've had a conversation and there's somebody that I can really help. But I try to come at it as, you know, one, how can I serve you? So part of that is, you know, how can I, as an individual, me, how can I express what I know in a way that's going to help you? And, you know, it may not be art in the traditional sense, but it really is about, I guess, maybe in sales, it's more of a performance art, so to speak. You know, it's about how you sort of, what kind of energy you bring to that conversation, that communication, and really how is it that you want to best express what it is that you do for your work, you know, how that work can really help them. And, you know, I always found it all very intimidating, the idea of sales completely intimidating, until I really started to understand that, you know, it's not about me. It's not about them rejecting me or liking me.
How do you think you made that connection of the rejection, getting over the rejection piece? Was there a moment in time, or was that an evolutionary process?
I think for me, it was more of a understanding that sometimes, you know, even, you know, let's say I'm doing my freebie, you know, and I'm talking to somebody about their naming and their branding, they're probably as intimidated by the idea that they don't know what they're doing, or they feel frustrated as I am about that idea of kind of putting myself out there. And when I just made the decision that I was really going to come at it from a place the same way that I come at my, you know, my creativity, like, what do I know, what do I possess that I can express to you that will help move you forward? Mm-hmm. And I found that once I kind of looked at it from that point of view, and I saw it as, like, you know, I am who I am. I can't pretend to be somebody else. But, you know, I'm not a shark. I'm not somebody who's going to be able to tell anybody anything, and I don't want to be that kind of person. But I do know that I have solutions that can help people, and I'm not all the way there yet, but I'm always trying to work on how I can better communicate to somebody how it is that I can help them. And I
Absolutely.
Focus on it from that point of view. And then I find, you know, if they get it, so to speak, which is, you know, ultimately what I would want, then I find that they're much more open and receptive to the idea of, you know, let's have a conversation about how we can move this forward into, you know, being a paying client.
But you easily soften when you come at it from the perspective of service. There's just a softness that creeps right on in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then it's not about my ego anymore. And it's just easier to say, oh, okay, well, I'm just either we're not the right match, or, you know, they're not ready to work with me yet, or, you know, they only had a specific question and I was able to answer that. So it's really helped me. But again, I think it's just a matter of how you choose to express yourself.
And I have this hunch that you probably got, once you began to give yourself the freedom that, well, my only job is to give them a really clear idea of who I am, and you stopped worrying about the sale, then you got really creative about, well, who am I, and how can I show them that? And then you just got really liberal about showing them that, and that gave you license to just, woo! Because when you visit your site, it's just a playground.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I love hearing that, because that's what I want. I want it to be fun. I think of it as, you know, it's my cyber real estate. It's my house. So if you come into my house, my real house, of course I would want you to feel comfortable and have an enjoyable time. And when you come into my website, I want the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I love that transition to service, because I'm very good at that. Mm-hmm. I'm very easy at that. I just don't want to sell anybody anything. Yeah, I totally get it. Totally. And I have a theater degree, so as soon as you made the transition to performance art, I was like, oh, easy, easy. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that really is how I, you know, even when I'm in a, like, cranky mood and I'm having a bad day, you know, whether it's one of my freebies or it's a paying client, like, I really do everything I can to, okay, put that aside, because I want to show up with everything that I have so that, you know, I can help. Basically, I see my job is to help move people forward. There are different people can be moved forward at different speeds in different ways, but I figure as long as I'm giving them something that moves them at least one step closer, that I've done my job. Like, that's how I come at it.
So. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Rebecca, I also wanted to say that one thing that helped me is going along with the performance art aspect is really looking at these conversations, which are quote-unquote sales conversations, as improv. And if I go into it, and as I go, if I go into it that way, if I go into it as, oh no, they're not interested, oh, you know. But if I just go into it open to, I have no clue what this person is going to say, and I just have to react to what they say. Because I don't know what they say, and any preconceived notion I come up with is going to be wrong. Because, you know, people will come up with all kinds of things out of left field. I had no clue, like objections to whatever or anything like that. And if I can just roll with it and say, okay, I can handle whatever they throw at me in some way. And maybe it's not perfect. Improv is not perfect by any means, but it takes that pressure off of having to be right and having to make the sale and having to, it's a back and forth. It's a volley ball game kind of thing.
And the idea is to be fun. We watched this YouTube last night, my son and I, my 16-year-old son, and it's so tricky. I'm not a 16-year-old boy, let's just say it that way. And so for us to find something that we both enjoy on television is a feat. And it was this What's My Line? Have you ever seen that show? And it was Robin Williams, and we were both laughing so hard, and it was all about improv. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the whole thing, is if you both just surrender to the process and the moment at hand. I think you're right. Cool.
Awesome. All right. Anybody have other questions? Are we good? That was a good conversation we had going there. Awesome. Well, I think, is there any parting words you want to leave us with, Victoria, before we all head off for the rest of our afternoon?
Nothing particular comes to mind other than, in a nutshell, the world needs your voice. So as scary as it can be to put it out there, do it, because we need it. So I guess that's it.
Awesome.
That's what I'm telling myself these days, so that's what I'm going to tell you all, too.
Yes, I love that. All right, so I'm going to sign off in just a bit. Everybody, thanks so much for coming and hanging out and asking great questions. And everybody listening to the recording, be sure and check out Victoria on her website and Facebook and all that stuff, and I'll get you those links. Thank you so much, Victoria, for chatting with us. You always have wonderful, great insights into creative processes and just business as a whole. So I really appreciate you.
Well, thank you for having me. Like, I'm truly honored to get to talk to your group, because, you know, I love you, Christy. I love what you do, and I'm thrilled to be here.
Awesome. All right, I'm gonna sign off, and I will see everybody over where we all hang out on our Facebook pages and workshopees. I will see you the next few weeks as you jump into design, and just going to sign off. Everybody have a great day.